Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living Time-Tested Methods for Conquering Worry is a classic self-help book by Dale Carnegie, first published in 1948 and later republished in multiple editions. It belongs to the practical psychology and personal development genre, with a clear purpose to help readers reduce chronic worry, manage anxiety, and live with greater emotional steadiness. Rather than treating worry as an abstract emotional state, Carnegie presents it as a habit that can be identified, interrupted, and replaced through specific daily practices. The book draws on anecdotes, examples, and advice gathered from business people, professionals, and ordinary readers, which gives it a direct, applied tone. Its central concern is not self-fulfillment in a broad sense, but the immediate problem of mental strain caused by fear of the future, regret over the past, and resistance to uncontrollable events. The book remains widely read because it translates psychological insight into simple routines that are easy to remember and use. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, worry as a habit that can be broken through method rather than willpower alone. Carnegie treats worry not as a fixed personality trait, but as a learned pattern of thinking. That framing is important because it shifts the problem from identity to behavior. If worry is a habit, it can be replaced with other habits. The book repeatedly emphasizes practical discipline over vague reassurance. Readers are encouraged to notice when their mind begins replaying threats, then interrupt that cycle with concrete action, reflection, or redirection. This approach is more useful than simply telling anxious people to relax, because it acknowledges that worry often returns automatically unless the person develops a new response pattern. Carnegie also links worry to physical exhaustion and mental fatigue, reinforcing the idea that unmanaged anxiety consumes energy. By presenting worry as manageable through method, he gives readers a structured way to respond instead of a moralizing message about staying positive. The result is a self-help model based on repetition, awareness, and practice, not abstract inspiration. Secondly, living in day-tight compartments to prevent the past and future from dominating the present. One of the book's best-known ideas is the principle of day-tight compartments, meaning that each day should be handled on its own terms. Carnegie argues that much of human suffering comes from mentally living in two unreal places: the past, which cannot be changed, and the future, which has not yet arrived. This idea is not merely motivational advice, it is a time management strategy for the mind. By narrowing attention to today, a person reduces the emotional burden of imagined disasters and unfinished regrets. The value of this approach lies in its realism. Immediate responsibilities are often the only things anyone can genuinely influence. Carnegie supports this principle with practical examples that show how people waste energy by postponing life or obsessing over distant outcomes. The point is not to ignore planning, but to separate planning from useless emotional rehearsal. This makes the book especially distinctive because it turns a psychological challenge into a daily operating principle grounded in present action. Thirdly, practical action matters more than circular mental rehearsal. A major thread in the book is that worry usually persists when the mind is active but the hands are not. Carnegie repeatedly encourages readers to take constructive action because action breaks the loop of passive fear. If a problem can be solved, then analysis should end in a decision or task. If it cannot be solved immediately, then the reader is advised to stop feeding it with endless imagination. This is one reason the book remains useful. It values concrete next steps over introspective overthinking. Carnegie does not promise that action eliminates discomfort, only that it prevents paralysis. He also recommends staying occupied with meaningful work, partly because inactivity gives worry more room to expand. In this sense, the book links emotional regulation to behavior design. The underlying logic is simple but effective. The brain worries most when it is left to spin on unresolved concerns. By converting vague anxiety into specific tasks, readers regain a sense of agency and reduce the mental clutter that sustains fear. Fourthly, accepting what cannot be controlled instead of fighting inevitable realities. Another recurring idea in the book is that many worries become destructive because they target things beyond personal control. Carnegie advises readers to cooperate with the inevitable rather than resist it emotionally. This does not mean passive resignation in every situation. It means distinguishing between what can be changed and what must be endured, then adjusting accordingly. That distinction is central to the book's logic. Worry becomes wasteful when it keeps trying to control the uncontrollable, whether that is the past, other people, or uncertain outcomes. Carnegie's advice often resembles a practical form of acceptance-focused energy where effort has a realistic chance of helping. And stop spending emotional capital on what cannot be revised. This perspective gives the book durability because it addresses a universal human tendency to fight reality instead of responding to it. The emphasis on acceptance also makes the book more than a productivity manual. It is a guide to emotional economy, teaching readers how to conserve attention for problems that are actually solvable. Lastly, anecdotes, examples, and self-talk turn abstract advice into usable mental discipline. The book is structured around examples, stories, and brief formulas rather than theoretical explanation. That style is one of its strengths because it makes the advice memorable and usable in ordinary life. Carnegie uses real-world situations to show how people reduce worry by changing how they interpret events and how they talk to themselves. Positive self-talk in the book is not presented as empty optimism. Instead, it functions as a deliberate mental cue that supports courage, gratitude, and composure when fear starts taking over. The anecdotes also broaden the book's relevance by showing the same principles applied in business, health, relationships, and everyday decision-making. This practical variety helps readers recognize their own patterns in the examples. At the same time, the book's dated references and occasional simplifications remind modern readers that it belongs to another era. Even so, its method remains effective because it teaches a repeatable process: identify worry, replace idle rumination with action, and reinforce the new response through conscious inner speech. That combination is what gives the book its lasting appeal. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want direct, usable guidance for managing worry rather than a clinical theory of anxiety. It will be especially helpful for people dealing with work stress, general overthinking, sleeplessness caused by rumination, or the habit of replaying worst-case scenarios. Its main value lies in its simplicity. Carnegie converts a vague emotional problem into a set of clear behaviors, such as focusing on today, taking action, accepting what cannot be changed, and using deliberate self-talk. Compared with many modern self-help books, it stands out because it is built around short, memorable principles that readers can apply immediately without specialized background knowledge. It also remains distinctive for its practical tone and heavy use of examples, which make the advice feel concrete rather than theoretical. Although some language and references reflect the era in which it was written, the central method is still recognizable and useful. For readers who want a foundational, no-frills guide to reducing worry, this book remains one of the most influential titles in the category. If you would like to support Dale Carnegie, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.